The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at an historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laugh as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. If you are hearing this, congratulations. You have survived yet another eclipse. We're kind of talking about nations that get eclipsed, nations that don't get as much attention as maybe they deserve.
Well, because they're so small, they just get eclipsed by their bigger brethren, you know, like literally, figuratively, they get all the attention. Those big guys just suck all the air out of the room. I'm Noel, by the way.
You're
and,
Noel.
And viva. Viva Las Vegas. Viva Liechtenstein.
I am Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Mr. Max Williams. And you know what? I was thinking about this, you guys. Some of the bigger countries, they have entire, not just episodes, but podcast series about them, like China, the history of the U.S., totally. Russia. But what about the, you know, the micro boys? What about the micro nations? Noel, what about Liechtenstein?
Well,
Liechtenstein,
you know, do with it what you will, whatever feels right to you. You know, I mentioned Viva Las Vegas because A, I am coming to you from Las Vegas. I'm on vacation. And B, it made me think of, was it Monaco that we did? That was sort of another kind of micronation, right? And that was
and
like
Andorra,
a big
yeah, and Andorra, San Marino, yeah.
Both, but several of them kind of found their niche in like weird little micro tourism surrounded by gambling. Mm-hmm. Not the case necessarily with Liechtenstein, but I just it made me think of that.
Gambling's on your mind.
Gambling is on my mind, baby. It's really, I'm on a hot streak.
There we go.
I got to get those hot dice. But no, according to the embassy of the Principality of Liechtenstein, the territory occupied by the Principality of Liechtenstein has been continually inhabited by settled farming communities since the later Stone Age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we all remember the earlier Stone Age. You know, I like the earlier work. But
that was before they got the like prehistoric animals to act as, you know, garbage disposals and taxi cabs.
Ben, I didn't get that joke that you wrote until you said it out loud. I've read that three times before this recording, and I'm like, I don't get it. I didn't put the later part in. Stone Age, I like the earlier work.
Oh, God. Right, because the later Stone Age, I earned that symbol. Thank you, guys. So 4,000 to 800 BCE. That's the later Stone Age, right? So people have been living there for quite some time.
But by 15 BCE, those Romans, just rolling around, taking everything that they see, you know. They incorporated it into something called the province of Raetia. And after the Roman Empire, you know, did that thing that it did where it kind of collapsed in the 5th century, Raetia was then incorporated into Charlemagne's Frankish Empire. And then from the 10th century forward was part of the Holy Roman Empire henceforth.
Yeah,
it was redundant, but I had to say henceforth. It just sounded like a very Charlemagne thing to say.
That was tight. Yeah, I liked it. So here's the thing. This area doesn't have a ton of natural resources. You know, there was something at the time, there was something called imperial immediacy, which was like your little badge to be in charge of a given domain. And okay. Yeah, and the county of Vaduz gets this sovereign ability, right, to be suzerains, essentially. And this idea that they have sovereignty and a right to independence begins so far back in time, you know, like 1396, late 14th century. There's two counties. There's Vaduz and Schellenberg, right? And these are the origin points of modern day Liechtenstein. And they went back and forth. They weren't always united. Between 1416 and 1613, there was all this, call it aristocratic horse trading. It wasn't until the counts of, and I love this name, the Hohenems, got together and brought Vaduz and Schellenberg into a unified front.
I'm just so glad we're dealing with some counts here for the record, because Vaduz just sounds like the most goth place ever. Schellenberg, a little less so, but I'm just really glad we're dealing some counts. Also, the Hohenems sounds like that should be a house out of the Dune series. Just putting mm-hmm. that out there as well.
Reminds me a little bit of like Elohim, but that's mm-hmm. just our American accents, I think. But
also true.
So they bring these two counties together, and at first that sounds super dope. However, during the rule of the Counts of Hohenheim, you got to say it like that, like you've got a small
you
cough.
Really do. Yeah,
you're
exactly.
coughing in a library.
Yeah. It was like you're a Vaduzian prince, and you cough gently into your hanky, and a little bit of blood comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I always go through these docs beforehand and like pronounce out some of the words that may look a little more complicated and be like, oh, you know, go get a like pronunciation guide. And when I found Hohenems, or however we're saying it, I was like, oh, they're going to have fun with this one.
Nice. Called
it. Here we are having fun with it. It's got a good mouthfeel. I like it.
It's got a good mouthfeel. I'll tell you who.
Tubercular.
Who didn't enjoy this. The innocent people living in Vaduz and Schellenberg, because under the rule of these counts of Hohenem, the public had just a really crappy time. There were all these plagues over. There were witch hunts. And this came in the chaos of the 30 Years' War. The public wants someone to blame, so they pick on disadvantaged, isolated people in society, and they end up killing like around 180 people for being witches. And at the same time, the rulers of the land are getting super in debt. They're super broke, and they have to have a fire sale. So they sell these two counties to, wait for it, folks, the House of Liechtenstein.
Wait a minute. Is a count just someone who presides over a county?
Oh, you know, you might be right.
Well, I don't know, man.
That's pretty good.
If true, like then galaxy brain over here.
I love it. The armchair etymologist in me is like vibing with you and saying, right on, brother.
Can neither confirm nor deny, but would love for that to be true. So, you know, 180 people, you know, taken to the torch, as they say, perhaps, or other methods, probably likely equally barbaric for being practitioners of the black arts. At this point, we are at the historical moment, the crossroads of history, wherein the place kind of changes names.
One piece at a time, just like the Johnny Cash song, Vaduz gets sold to the House of Liechtenstein in 1699. And then not too long after, less than two decades later, Schellenberg gets auctioned off as well. And if we understand the forming of this very tiny, very pleasant European nation, we have to dive into the name. The name is weird, right? A lot of Americans, I would posit, probably confuse Luxembourg and Liechtenstein.
I certainly did that myself briefly, but who are these Liechtensteins and what was their deal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's their whole thing with these Steins? Anyway, so yeah, they have, okay, so they're a clan. They're like an aristocratic ruling clan, and think of them as a group of princes who are related by blood, and sometimes when it works out, they're related by geopolitical ambitions. So right. for a long time, these guys were advisors to the Habsburg dynasty since like the 1200s, the 13th century.
And okay.
As we know, it became more and more difficult to be an advisor to the Habsburgs as the incest accelerated.
As it tends to do. So the House of Liechtenstein held...
Max also gave the saddest nod.
I know.
We've all seen the pictures.
It is sad for sure.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Mint Mobile.
If we've learned anything in the process of doing this podcast, just living life, it's that there's always a catch.
So when we heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month if you get a three-month plan, we looked at each other and we thought, what's the catch?
But here's the thing. In this case, there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online.
Yeah, they cut out that middleman cost of retail stores and they pass those sweet, sweet savings directly to you. We're not joking. We have tried out Mint Mobile ourselves and it's super convenient. And it actually, like, we tried to find a catch and there's not one.
So to get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
That's mintmobile.com/ridiculous. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan.
Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
The House of Liechtenstein held lands in Moravia, Bohemia, which is, you know, where the Bohemians came from, all those Hepcats, and Lower Austria. All of these lands, however, were sort of like vassal lords almost, because they were subject to the whims of more senior feudal lords. And although the folks in charge of Liechtenstein had been, you know, kind of raised up, ranked up to prince in 1608, the princes, they didn't really have nearly as much power as one might think a prince should have. They had to work pretty hard to gain what's called unmittelbare lands, which were lands that were subject to no other feudal rulers, except for, of course, the head of the Holy Roman Empire itself, the Holy Roman Emperor.
Right. Like the idea being, in basic terms, we don't pay taxes or send soldiers to anyone but the emperor. We direct, as corporate America would say, we are the direct, we directly report to the emperor.
Doesn't this all feel a little Dune-ish in general, like in terms of the structure of it? You know, we got the houses that are given by the grace of the emperor, control of various resources and various lands. But at the end of the day, I mean, maybe this is just history and, you know, royalty and all of that. But it just, I don't know, for some reason, I'm feeling a little Dune vibes from this.
Yeah, it's because Frank Herbert read a lot of like Middle European history,
yeah.
I imagine. But so here they are on the come up, the princes of Liechtenstein, however you prefer. So they have to make nice with this guy named Charlie. You might know him as Charles VI at the time. He was, in addition to other things, he was a Holy Roman Emperor. So here's what happens. They make nice with this guy, Chuck, and they say, hey, Chuck, you know, we control these two things that we bought in 1699 and 1712. Can you just make this right? Because we only report to you, dude. We're loyal to you. And Chuck agrees. In 1719, he says, we're uniting Vaduz and Schellenberg. We're making it Facebook official or something to that effect. And he said, now this is an imperial principality or Reichsfürstentum. How did it?
Well done.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh,
thanks, man.
Nailed it. No notes. 10 out of 10.
I learned it from you.
And, thanks, man.
So this is big because this means that this new upstart country, this house that has become a nation, can be a sovereign member of the Holy Roman Empire. They get a seat at basically the parliament or the Congress of the time, the Imperial Diet.
The Imperial Diet? What is that?
Keto.
What is
it's that? Basically yeah, okay. Keto.
Makes me think of the diet that Swedish emperor ate and then probably died afterwards.
Yeah, for me, an imperial diet largely consists of giant shanks of meat with the greases dripping onto their bare chests. Mm-hmm.
You like a turkey leg?
Yeah,
I love a cartoonishly large turkey leg.
It's fun. You can also use it as a weapon if someone comes at you at the Ren Fair.
And you never know. You never know. So this is weird. And it's tough to understand, you know, here in 2024 as Americans, but the people in charge of countries at this time, people at land holdings, it was not uncommon for them to have never visited the place. So the princes of Liechtenstein, they controlled this area, but they never visited until like 1842. They decided to show up.
That's very common. I think, like you said, throughout history, governing from afar. And it usually involves a little bit of a disconnect, you know, with the people who actually live there.
Right. How are you going to govern a people? You don't speak their language, et cetera, et cetera. Tale as unfortunately old as time. We're getting a lot of this again from the embassy of Liechtenstein, like the principality of Liechtenstein is the official name. So the embassy points out that there are quite a few historical figures who pop in for some at times unpleasant cameos. I'm thinking of Napoleon I, real up and comer, that guy.
Oh, yeah. There was a period where you didn't want to see him striding into your town.
He was great in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. He was not as short as people say, but he kind of did some dick moves.
That's right. At this point, the entire Holy Roman Empire was under his tiny iron fist. And when Napoleon dissolved the Holy Roman Empire and turned it into the Rhine Confederation, Liechtenstein actually kind of got released from his previous contract, I guess, let's call it, this previous allegiance to the former emperor. And it was given its own sovereignty through inclusion in the Confederation in 1806. I don't know, now we're starting to feel a little Star Trek-y, aren't we, Max?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's just Federation. I don't know. Carry on. Maybe not. <mind.
laughs> Well, here's what we need to realize about this. This was a huge opportunity for the people of Liechtenstein because Napoleon was saving them from some regional rivals who wanted to take over those lands, most notably Bavaria. And so having Napoleon protect you and vibe with you is great so long as Napoleon is still in play. As history proves, Napoleon gets defeated once by a swarm of rabbits and then, you know, later by humans. And when he is defeated, when he is sent to exile, the Rhine Confederation dissolves in 1813. And so Liechtenstein goes to the Congress of Vienna and they say, hey, we want a seat at the table. So they become one of the 39 new member states of something called the German Confederation, which means they get to save their sovereignty. And they even, you know, they mess around. They get a little constitution in 1818. Nice.
Very cool.
I mean, it's a little constitution. It's like a limited constitution. It's like constitution diet zero.
I thought you meant it was like physically quite small to match the small stature of this micronation. But no, it just didn't have that many pages. They weren't necessarily.
It was mostly emojis. Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm,
fair. it didn't include things like, oh, I don't know, basic rights. However, It did include some, you know, groundwork for controlling taxation requirements, things like that. Some vague suggestions in language about the public well-being, you know, quote unquote. And under this confederation, Liechtenstein would be able to maintain a small military force. And during the Austro-Prussian War, where Austria got together with the German Confederation to fight against Prussia, this conflict, of course, ended with the defeat of Austria and the dissolution of the very German Confederation that we're talking about. So this, so once again, right, once it's like a you know, getting acquired by another company. You know, if you're like a small little startup and you keep getting passed, we've been there, right? It's a thing. It's a weird feeling, but doesn't always go poorly. Sometimes things end up going for the better for your particular situation. And that seems to be the case here. Liechtenstein was once again released from its military obligations and gave Parliament the opportunity to refuse to fund any more military endeavors. So in 1868, Prince Johann II agreed to Parliament's requests and actually disbanded the 80-man army. 80, that's barely an army. That's more like a militia.
We'll get to the size of the country in a bit, but yeah, that's,
I know,
that's
size isn't everything, but that but I do not think 80 people doth an army make.
Is that less than the Swiss Guard in the Vatican? I think it might be.
It is. You are correct. Let's
see. Those Swiss Guard, man, they're like serious. Those guys are like ninjas.
You can tell by the hats. Yeah, they're all about the business. And the pantaloons as well. I'm kidding. Don't come for me, Swiss Guard. Anyway, I really need to get through customs in Italy. And funny story about the nation of Liechtenstein's, their army did one of the coolest things. In 1866, they had their... they had their last deployment as the army of the country. They had an amazing track record. They didn't lose any battles. They had no casualties. They actually didn't fight at all. They left with those 80 people that we just mentioned. And when they came home, according to the legend, they brought a buddy with them. They just met a guy who was a cool vibe and they brought him home. And they were like, oh, this is Larry. He's dope. Anyway, so yeah, they do disband the army. And this is cool because, again, even though we're talking about a relatively small number of people, it's enormous to the public to not be beholden to fight in foreign wars. Liechtenstein is also landlocked. You know what I mean? They don't control any important ports or like ocean access points at this time. So they're in a good spot.
You know, it's funny, though, because it does seem like a lot of the prominence of these micronations, or at least the interest in them, comes from having some sort of military strategic position. And that does right. not seem to be the case here. So you might be asking, Max, Noel, Ben, this is all well and good. We like geopolitics as much as the next guy. But what's it actually like in Liechtenstein? What do they do? Why should I care?
Yeah, and look, we can get into the weeds in the history of this country, as you can with any European country, if we're being honest. They are neutral during World War One, but they still have a tough time because they suffer from the sanctions levied against Austria-Hungary because they're part of it. They get a new constitution. They're always trying, like you said, Noel, I love the phrase vassal state. They're always trying to build a relationship with a larger partner. And so they get to
please daddy notice me,
right? Yeah, senpai notice me. And that's what they say to Switzerland. The Swiss franc is the official currency today. Look, they chose correctly when they got with Switzerland, and not to spout too much scuttlebutt and stereotype about the nation of Switzerland, but they are known for their banking and mm-hmm.
and their neutrality.
And Liechtenstein was right on that. They are super active in the international financial sector, which is, again, a euphemistic way to talk about tax dodging and money right. laundering.
Mm-hmm. I knew I'd heard of them somewhere.
There it is. Yeah.
But there's more to it than just that. Of course, after World War II, Liechtenstein's economy grew a lot around some very specialty kind of industrial firms. We basically up to this point, it had largely been kind of this very poor agrarian sort of vassal state. But at this point, after World War II, which happened for other countries as well, as we know, they started to modernize. And kind of like, you know, leap into what would be seen as more the modern era of the micronation. They didn't have that many people actually living there. So right. their economy kind of ballooned to a level that wasn't being serviced enough by the people who actually lived there. So they had to outsource workers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. And that's something that kind of continues today, as we'll see. The native population of this country is about two-thirds of the people living there are native-born.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah, it was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody, like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it. So the Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So that's like the quick and dirty origin story and leads us to the modern day. If you visit today, and you very much should, the three of us would love to go, what you'll see is that it's in the central Alps, probably like the two-thirds of it on the eastern side, if you're looking at a map, is a bunch of rugged foothills. And there are these beautiful forests, these beautiful alpine flowers. You know, it snows and rains in winter. Mm. It's kind of, it's still kind of like cloudy. Yeah, yeah. They've got a pretty modest but growing ski industry.
And those rugged foothills, Ben, that you mentioned, so rugged, belong to a mountain system known as the Retecon. I believe that's how you pronounce it, which is, of course, part of the Central Alps. You've got some pretty high peaks, including Grauspitz, which goes as high as 8,527 feet or 2,599 meters. And much of the area is quite above sea level, around 6,000 feet up. The lower slopes of the mountain encompass a lot of these beautiful evergreen forests. Kind of think of, you know, German black forest type situations.
The hills are alive.
They are, with the sound of tourists.
Yeah, there it is. I mean, it's a cool vibe, you know. It is still a monarchy. It's a constitutional monarchy, which is not uncommon in this part of the world. But unlike many other European countries, this country is interesting because it has no natural resources that are worth anything. So, like, they have a bunch of forests, like we were describing, but their forests are very heavily protected, so they have to import wood when they want to build stuff with wood. There's no heavy industry. There are very few, like, they're like, I would say, the idea of agriculture in this country is somewhat endangered. Tourism is by far the official engine of the economy of Liechtenstein.
So we did mention briefly they had a period of kind of specialized manufacturing or industrial processes that required them to start outsourcing some workers. That was largely around the war efforts at the time. We mentioned World War II. And then after that is when they started to kind of modernize. And by modernize, we really are talking about them moving into their role as kind of an iron bank of sorts situation, you know, where they were able to do some dirty deals and hide some money for some very powerful people. And that kind of allowed them to continue to exist. And what that really means is that because of the relatively stable political situation in Liechtenstein, they were able to, and also their autonomy, they were able to operate under something that we're calling here in the outline, absolute bank secrecy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's the idea is for a while you could be an anonymous foreign account holder. and you would be buttoned up legally. And that's the reason why, especially leading up to the late 1900s, this country became a center of money laundering, to the point where they eventually changed the law and they said, okay, look, you can't just be, you know, Ben Bullen or Johnny Blue Jeans or some other made up name and open a bank account here. And the EU was cracking down on it. The US was super mad about it. So the country has been working for some time now to stop being regarded as a tax haven, with mixed results.
Right. I mean, it does become a bit of a reputational kind of thing, right? Or maybe we don't really wanted to shake that, but you're kind of known for what you're known for. It's not really up to you at a certain
point. They kind of earned it. Let's be honest. 100%.
Yeah, it's true. And as we mentioned a little bit earlier, what are known as ethnic Liechtensteiners make up around 2/3 of the population. They are descended from the Alemanni tribe. They came into the region after around 500 CE. The official language of the nation is Germany, but most of the population also still speaks a dialect of Alemanni, containing local kind of colloquial variations in pronunciations and vocabulary. Another ethnic group called the Voisslers are descendants of immigrants from the Swiss Canton of the Valais, which settled in Triesenberg at the very end of the 13th century, and they continue to speak a very distinctive form of the language. Finally, around 4/5 of the population are Christian, with about 3/4 identifying as Roman Catholic. Again, shout out to the Embassy of Liechtenstein for all of these handy bits.
The principality thereof. Yes.
Excuse me. Yes. Thank you.
they'll get super mad. They might send 80 people out to get us, and then they would come back with 83 people because they seem like a good
I want to go. How do I become? Can I immigrate to Liechtenstein? Seems like a real fancy place.
It helps if you're Swiss or very wealthy, like offensively wealthy.
God, dang it.
On the way.
Swiss? Definitely.
Yeah, you're probably wondering about the size, folks, in terms of the great micronation scale, which we have just made up as an official thing. Liechtenstein is like 62 square miles, all told, which for us in the U.S. puts it about, a good comparison would be Washington, D.C. It's about the same size as that city. But that's still, that's pretty big compared to things like Monaco or Vatican City or San Marino. But then, there are other micronations that are much larger, like Andorra is 181 square miles, and that's still massive. That's three times the size of this country. I don't know. And Luxembourg is still pretty big. It's 998 square miles. So this just all means that Liechtenstein is the sixth smallest country in the planet.
Yeah, it's essentially nestled into a valley. That's the entirety of its land, kind of a tucked between Switzerland and Austria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it had some struggles, although we're making it sound like a really cool place, which it is. If you were a woman living in the country, you were not allowed to vote until 1984.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Probably some issues there with their catching up to modern times. This is a great way to sum up the paradox, I suppose, that is Liechtenstein. William Cook, writing for The Spectator, put it thusly. One of the smallest countries in Europe is only 24 kilometers from end to end and barely 12 kilometers across. Squeezed into half a valley between Austria and Switzerland, its monarchy is Austrian and its currency is Swiss. Like you said, it only granted women the right to vote in 1984, and its national football stadium, the Rheinparkstadion, holds just 6,127 spectators, less than the Torquay United. Torquay, by the way, is a little seaside community in the United Kingdom, where Fawlty Towers, the wonderful John Cleese Britcom, takes place. And if you've seen the show, it is meant to be one of the sleepiest and tiniest little seaside burgs in all the land.
Let's call it this. Let's title this episode Liechtenstein, the Delaware of Europe. Because it has more registered companies than people, even today 100%. In 2024. It has a railway, but it has no train station.
Nor public airports.
Yeah, but they are the biggest manufacturer of false teeth in the world.
That's not true. Is it?
That's what William Cook tells us in The Spectator.
Are you serious? False teeth? That's their industry.
That's that manufacturing you're asking about. Yeah, no, serious.
The world's biggest I'm sorry, that's mind-blowing, and I feel like we buried the lead there. I feel like we should have started with that one.
We buried a lot of leads in this episode.
It's okay.
Yeah, just like they buried a lot of dirty money. All right, well, it's said as it's said, and it is true. Noel, I love that you point out this country does not have any public airports of its own.
Certainly private ones, though, the implication being because of all the mega rich there.
Mm-hmm. Think about the implication, folks. There's also a fantastic opportunity here for us to talk a little bit about WikiTravel. Now, don't ever use Wikipedia for research, but WikiTravel, if you find yourself abroad or heading to an unfamiliar country, WikiTravel is a pretty cool primer on some very interesting things. Be aware that a lot of it is written by locals, so treat the notes about safety and restaurants and hotels with a little bit of skepticism.
Absolutely. I think one thing that's interesting, though, to wrap this up about micronations in general, and it's certainly true of Liechtenstein, considering its, you know, dealings with perhaps ill-gotten funds and the hiding thereof and probably some private airports if anyone needed to, like, disappear. They are, you know, sovereign. That's the whole thing. But they're so tiny that they're not really on the radar for a lot of bigger picture kind of issues. So it's a great place to go if you're someone that needs to, like, disappear or seek refuge and not be extradited, because certainly a lot of these micronations have relationships with larger, you know, more militarily advanced nations. But a lot of times it's like sort of like, you made it to Liechtenstein, kind of like a, you know, you kind of got a pass, right?
It's like tagging base.
That's right. Exactly.
And this may be the case for a while. Now, if you are a ridiculous historian of, dare I say, a certain set of interests, this all sounds great. You might be saying, how can I move to this fancy Central European paradise for fiduciary shenanigans? Well, the answer is it's kind of difficult to live there as it's difficult to become a citizen if you're not already A, Swiss, or B, wealthy, because Liechtenstein is not a member of the European Union. So the government does not have the same EU obligations. Like if you grow up in or if you're a resident of an EU nation, you can move to another European country, but you can't do that here. They don't have to let you in. It's kind of tough to get in there. Hence, that's why the majority of people just visit or, you know, start a company with a PO address.
For sure. And it's, I was wondering why there was something about this place that sort of rang familiar to me. And I maybe even mentioned that I was once a small German boy because I grew up in Germany because my mother was an opera singer and sang a lot all over Europe. And Liechtenstein is known for its love of the operatic arts. And they have quite a few, for such a small place, opera companies. And they also have a festival called the Operettas in Vaduz Balzers that is visited for the world over. And, you know, as we know, opera is one of the most kind of niche, bougie, and expensive pastimes and art forms. So it tracks that I would have heard of Liechtenstein. I don't know if my mom ever participated in any of these, but I would not be surprised if she did.
And we hope that if you're hearing this, you will have adventures in this country or other micro nations. We're going to call it a day. Join us when we finally explain later on what exactly we meant by this, the pleasure of gravity devices and so on. We got a cool history of roller coasters on the way. Big, big
right,
things.
Gravity devices. Oh, yeah. Literally just clocked that, man. I'm really excited about that episode. I think we're all a bit of coaster heads here in the Ridiculous History crew. And I look forward to it. I really want to go to Universal Studios again. They have this one coaster called the Hulk where it just shoots you out of a tube when you don't even realize it's going to happen. It's not the slow climb. It's just a quick climb and then a launch when you don't even know it's coming. Love a good
coaster.
The
new Top Thrill Dragster is supposed to open later this year.
It's Six Flags?
Cedar Point.
Big, big thanks to super producer, Mr. Max Williams. Big, big thanks to our research associate, also Max Williams, and Alex Williams, who composed this amazing track.
Oh, it's such a bop. Christopher Asiota, it's here in spirit. Eve's Jeff Coates, AJ Bahamas Jacobs, the Quizster, Jonathan Strickland. We're going to get those two to duke it out one of these days. But AJ will be back soon. We've been teasing Jonathan's imminent return, and we will tease on, my friends.
Oh, hang on.
We will tease on.
I'm getting a call from the principality. All right, we'll be back.
We'll see you next time, folks.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Avalon Waterways. Ben, are you in major need of a vacation right now?
Noel, you're a mind reader. I am, and aren't we all?
We are. While cruising remains popular, there's something big happening in the industry, and that is, my friend, smaller ships.
True story. The intimate ships of Avalon Waterways can go where the big ships can only dream, through winding passageways of rolling vineyards and castled hills into the heart of timeless cities and storybook villages.
That sounds like a delight. See how Avalon's smaller ships promise greater discoveries, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at avalonwaterways.com.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.